ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। निबन्धं दस्यतं ज्ञात्वा विचिन्त्य कादुन्दुभिः प्राप्तं कालं प्रति व्योढुम् इदं तन्त्रं विपद्यता निबन्धनम् determination to do something. Tasya of him kamsa. Tam determination. Yatva understanding. Vichintya thinking deeply. Anakadundubi Vasudeva. Praptam it arrived. Kalam, imminent danger of death. Prati Vyudhum, to stop him from such activity. Idam, this Tatra, thereupon. Avapadyata, thought of other ways. So, translation. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister, Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply, considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa, purport. Although Vasudeva saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his welfare because at his birth, the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted to another way to save Devaki. Om Agyanti Mirandas Yaganandana Shalakaya Chakshurumritam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovinishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Siguru Siyuta Padakamalam Siguru Vaishnavam Sa Sirupam Sagadratan Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sa Jivam Sadvaitam Savaduta Paijana Saitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Siradha Krishna Padansadagara Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sa Hey Krishna Kara Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopike Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gurangi Radhe Vindavane Shwari Lishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamani Hari Pre Vanasa Kalpatru Vesa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Varamunama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gradha Sri Udri Gaur Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Prabhupada is very short. Actually, I'm supposed to lecture from 45, 46 to 47. And this is a verse which is on the board. But the others have no purpose at all. And sometimes he finds this in Srimad Bhagavatam that there's not that much context in a verse, but that's a material way to look at it. We should understand that as soon as we associate with Srimad Bhagavatam, we associate with Krishna and we associate with Srila Prabhupada. I'll give you an example. There's one godbrother of mine, a sannyasi. And he reads Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Since many years, many times, and other books of Srila Prabhupada, many times 4 hours, even 5 hours. So one evening he was chanting, he was reading, and he was reading the Krishna book. And while he was reading, all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada started reading. He looked around, there was nobody, but Prabhupada was reading for him about 3-4 pages. He said it was just like listening to a tape recorder, but there was no tape, it was Srila Prabhupada himself. Because he reasons ill who think that Vaishnava dies while he's living still in sound. There's this famous verse of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Prabhupada is actually present, not only in his samadhi, he is actually in the very sound vibration. He said, I'm in my books. He said that. And in generally, that devotees think that Prabhupada is gone. I personally had this experience that in the night after Prabhupada left, it was in 1977, I had to mind, when Prabhupada was put into the samadhi, I had to mind people, keeping the people back, because there's so many places was just packed with people. It was interesting because Prabhupada was the Lord. It was also interesting, they were holding him under the arms and his feet fell down. That means he has no rigor mortis. And this is a sign of great souls. Great souls have no rigor mortis. You understand rigor mortis? The body becomes stiff when somebody dies. So when some great soul leaves the body, he doesn't have rigor mortis. And Prabhupada, I could see it with my own eyes, immediately understood. You know, this is another proof that Prabhupada is Mahabharata, because his feet fell down. They hold his feet, and then at the bottom there are people who were then grabbing his feet, and the body came down, and they put Prabhupada onto a marble plate, which is right there. And then they filled Prabhupada, the whole ground around him, with salt. And that is so that no mouse, no vermin, no nothing, because nobody goes through salt. And this is the traditional way to do it, up to here about. And then they put, which I thought was very curious, they put a stick on, bamboo rod on Prabhupada's head, and filled then the whole pit with sand, till it reached the top. And then the bamboo stick was sticking out this much, and they put a little mound on it, around it, and then they pulled the stick out. And then I could understand it was to locate Srila Prabhupada. Not that you worship Prabhupada here, while actually he sits here. It was to localize the position of Prabhupada. And so, since I was quite close, I saw that this hole, as soon as I pulled, fell in. Closed, naturally. And I'm telling you this because it was significant, because in that night, this is my personal take on the situation, that I was dreaming, and I looked into this hole, this little hole, and actually it was not a hole, it was like a chimney. It was quite wide, and I looked down, and I saw Srila Prabhupada's body there. And then, amazing, and I don't talk about it many times, but since we are here, not far away from the samadhi, and since it will help you, Prabhupada came. This was about 7 hours, 6 hours after his departure, and he came in a beautiful, very lucent form. You know, you can't describe a lucent. It was a clarified form. You know, it was something from. It has clearly the features of Srila Prabhupada, clearly the features, but it was a spiritual body. He leaned on the other side. It's a very personal story, but it will be good for you to know that. He leaned on the other side. I paid my obeisances. And Prabhupada looked down, and they said 6 words. And these 6 words, they think that I am dead. 5 words. They think that I am dead. 6 words, he said. And then he disappeared. He just dissolved in the air. So very. And many of my godbrothers had amazing dreams of Srila Prabhupada. Myself also had some dreams of Srila Prabhupada. That it is a fact that Prabhupada, he is here. And therefore when we read these verses, even some verses may not have high content, it is important. I mean, Prabhupada sometimes had us listen to Hindi classes when he would speak in Hindi. And devotees said, but Srila Prabhupada, we cannot understand Hindi. He said, but the sound vibration is there. You associate with me, with Hindi right now, in a different way. So we should understand this is not an ordinary personality, Srila Prabhupada. I know from my godbrother, Brahmananda. We were quite good friends over many, many years. And there's a story he told me that at one stage Brahmananda, Prabhu, he had some sort of a growth in his foot. It was a bone that was growing down into the heel. There's a especially expression for that disease, for that illness, and he couldn't walk anymore. So then one day, Prabhupada went to some engagement and Brahmananda stayed in the temple. And so Brahmananda, the telephone was ringing in the other room. Brahmananda rushed to the phone on his, like this, on his feet and arms. The phone was up there, so he had to get up. So he got up, made the phone, and he walked to the room, to the other room. Then he realized that he was healed. That actually Prabhupada healed him. And he said this, he wrote a letter to the Rohis. I had this disease. Prabhupada healed me. From one moment to another, he had no, he went to the doctor, he couldn't see it. I have actually a similar experience that that Prabhupada was a miracle man. It was in Amsterdam. And I had come by plane just the day before, and so I went upstairs. I knew the immigration is upstairs, and downstairs there are all the tapes with the luggage. So when I went upstairs and waited for Prabhupada, all of a sudden he was in immigration, and he turned around, he saw me, and he waved like this. I still have that picture. There was nobody there left and right. I was the only person there, and Prabhupada, just at that time I lifted the camera up and made a film, and I saw this picture and he smiled. And so then he passed by, and I of course paid my obeisances, and I cried and I laughed, and all kinds of contradictory feelings went through my body. It's not normal, either you cry or you laugh, but it was at the same time, it was a highly emotional moment that I understood this is actually my spiritual master. So he went downstairs, and there was a room prepared after they picked up the luggage. It was a VIP room, and there were journalists waiting for Srila Prabhupada. And I could not understand Srila Prabhupada so much, his English. I could understand a good bit of it, I say 60%, but then there are certain words. And Prabhupada said, there are many bards. What is a bard? Anybody knows what a bard is? It's a bird, you know. There are many bards in the sky, and there are many elephants. And so he had a particular Bengali way of saying things. So I could not understand everything. So then when he spoke to this journalist, and that's why I'm telling you this story, which was miraculous, he was speaking and speaking and speaking. I could understand every single word. I was astounded. It was a real experience for me. Prabhupada was there, he was completely relaxed. And so I went back to the temple. And there was a tape I listened to in the morning, halfway, till we went to the airport. So I went, turned the back, rewinded the tape. It was in the tape of time of tape recorders. And I listened again for what I heard in the morning, and I could hear every single word. I could understand. And then, even after that, every time Prabhupada speak, I could hear. From that day on, it was just Prabhupada could do this. He could do this. By his mercy, anything could happen. He had this power. You know, there was even my rather complicated in-laws that well, they're born again Christians, that means really this type. They're not going to get out of the box. It's Jesus, and unless you take to Jesus, you go to hell. So you can't reason with these people. It's impossible, because they're bought into a dogma. And if people buy into a dogma, then it's hard to reason with them, particularly when the dogma is not rational. See, religion has to be rational, you know? That the idea that nobody comes to the Father but through me, that every Christian will throw at you as soon as he sees you, there's some truth in it. Because as we know ourselves, that from our scripture, that yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi, without the mercy of the spiritual master you cannot approach Krishna. So there is some truth in it. But it's untrue in terms that it's a universal truth. That means it is true everywhere under all circumstances at all times. Not that you say, well, that's us. It refers only to us. We listen to Jesus, therefore we are saved, and everybody else goes down the drain. This is called Akanishta Adhikari. It's called Akanishta Adhikari mentality. You know, that you just think your religion is the only one. You know, Sanatan Dharma is the only one. That's true. But otherwise, there are so many different types of religiosities, and it is not that they are not helpful, because, you know, Krishna, he creates all these different religiosities, actually. He's the source of everything. Just like I read one time a purport by Srila Prabhupada, very interesting. He said that actually there is a transcendental reason why Shankaracharya preached Mayavadi. Now this was interesting, I never heard this before. And then Prabhupada said, because that Mayavadi philosophy protects the purity of Krishna Bhakti. And Prabhupada told us many times, Mayavadi philosophy is the last snare. Do you know what a snare is? Snare. You hang into a tree, a snare, and a deer goes through it, and he's caught. It's like a trap. It's like a trap. And so, the pure bhakti, Sanatana Dharma, and pure Krishna bhakti is protected by a lot of snares. Like a king builds a wall, and he builds some sort of, how do you call that? Around the water, around his castle, etc. These are all to catch people. And so, all different kinds, mundane religion, they are really different kinds of traps. If you're a meat eater, well, there's a religion for you. If you're touched from meat eating in one life, there's a religion for you in your next life, where it is authorized. But there's no way that you can come to Krishna Bhakti as long as you eat meat. You have to give this up. One of the four regular principles. And so this is at least what we Western devotees did. We gave up these habits. And some of us, I remember there was one devotee, this happened two times actually, that to glorify Prabhupada in this situation, that there was one devotee and his name became such and such. I won't name the name. And so he was sitting in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, what are the four regulative principles? And he gave, devotee quoted the four regulative principles. And then Prabhupada said, all right, your name is such and such. And he gave him the beads, and halfway the devotee wanted to grab them, Prabhupada took it back. He took the beads back. And he said, don't kill any animals anymore. And we all know that he was a butcher. We all know he was a butcher. Prabhupada could not know that he was a butcher. Prabhupada understand, don't kill anyone. Because he was in Kunti, the external manifestation of the super soul. Prabhupada could understand this. Same thing in New York. Prabhupada, there was a butcher who became initiated. And so Prabhupada detected it. He gave, took the beads back and said, don't, you must promise to me. Don't kill any animals anymore. So there are all kinds of people around in this world. And the whole world is really, how do you say, a gigantic rehabilitation station. Like you have a rehab. If somebody is addicted to drugs, he goes to a rehab. Rehab, released. Or if somebody is a criminal, he goes to jail. What is the jail for? Jail is for improving people's life, right? There was a devotee, we had Mangalartik in, what was that now, in Heidelberg. And there was a police came into the temple, ran into the temple, grabbed one of the devotees in the middle of Mangalartik, put his hands on the back and handcuffed him and dragged him around. And I was the temple president. I said, now hold on a minute. He said, who are you? I said, I'm the temple president. I said, what is your name? Peter such and such. He said, Mr. Brinkman, he said, we are taking him for good reason. I said, why? He said, we cannot tell you, but you will find out. You'll find out. We must take him. The judge is looking for him. So, one day later, the boy called. He was crying. And he said, you know, I didn't tell you that I was smuggling drugs. Not much. I just had something. Not smuggling, just something. And my lawyer, you get a state lawyer if you don't have money, state lawyer said, you should ask your authority to come and say something nice about you to the judge. And so I went, and the judge was there, and he heard all the complaints from the prosecutor, and police was standing there who had substantiated the case. And then he said, before I judge this boy, I heard his superior is here, the superior of this devotee, XY. Are you here, Mr. Brink? I said, yes. I lifted my hand. He said, you wanted to speak to me? I said, yes. You speak. Speak. So I said, Your Honor, that jail is there to correct people. Is that true? The whole material world is there to correct people. I said, yes, that's true. I said, he's already corrected. I said, how is that? I said, you see, we don't take drugs. Not even tea, alcohol. Nor do we kill animals. No meat, no fish, no eggs. And there's no gambling. And then there's no sex. The judge said, no sex. Like this, he came up. He said, no sex. Said, only in marriage. The judge shook his head and said, that's worse than hell. Take him with you, he's sufficiently punished. He's sufficiently punished. It's a kind of a little nice story. The judge was, he was a bright mind. He had brain. Because it's true. Once you come to Krishna, you know, basically speaking, it's a new page in your life. And it's one of the new pages. Krishna gives you many new pages in life because it is not easy to extract yourself from the material world. There was one devotee, he complained to Srila Prabhupada about one devotee. And Prabhupada said, well, what about yourself? What about yourself? You see, like in the Bible, I come from a Christian background, they say, you see the speck of dust, little in your brother's eye. You did not see the beam, the big piece of wood in your own. You know, this is a very nice sentence. We have this mentality. We see little things in people's, somebody else, but we don't see ourselves. So this is kind of the story. And so the Prabhupada said to him, you know, try to understand that young devotees, they are like green mango. And so the devotee was wondering, what does that mean, green mango? Green mango means it is not very tasty. You know, you can make chutney out of it, that's true. But it's not very tasty. But if you wait for just 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, it becomes very sweet and very tasty. So devotees are like this, they're like green mangoes when they join the movement. It takes some time. That's like another example. One time, Brahmananda told me that Prabhupada made this first logo of ISKCON in a lotus flower. In Vani Ashram you can see it over the door, this particular kind of lotus. And actually Gagamuni Prabhu has the original, that was painted by Prabhupada. It's very valuable. And so Brahmananda said, in the middle of the lotus Prabhupada put ISKCON. So he asked, why ISKCON? And Prabhupada said, like the lotus flower, from the dirt something very beautifully rises. So in the same way with our society, out of the dirt, sometimes, or people who have done all kinds of things, not so much Indian, but in the Western world, people have all kinds of things. I went to one time I was preaching in Africa, and one devotee, he came to me in the evening, he was initiated, and he said, Preetu Prabhu, can I tell you one secret? But don't tell anybody. I do, but I don't mention his name. I said, what is that? I said, I committed a great sin. He said, what was that sin? I ate my grandfather. He ate his grandfather, so this was absolute shock. And I couldn't believe it. I said, yes, it is very common in my tribe, somewhere in the forest. When the grandfather is old, then they slide him off the roof because he's too old, his body doesn't function anymore, it's painful. And so then they eat the grandfather. And he said, and the power of the grandfather has come over me. And I said, how could you do such a thing? He said, but he was very tasty. He said, he was very tasty. So he became a devotee. And I said to him, oh, glorious to Srila Prabhupada, he's saving the Rakshasas. So Krishna's mercy is unlimited. It can save even a Rakshasa. You know, his family were Rakshasas, they were eating men. And Asili became a devotee by the mercy of Krishna. Just like there's this. There are two verses of mercy which I like very much. You just find them. By remembering the lotus feet of the Pancha Tattva, a dumb man can become a great poet, a lame man can cross over mountains, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. By the mercy of everything comes down to mercy. I remember we were translating Bhagavad Gita at that time into German language, Satchinandan Swami, Gauravani Maharaj and myself. And so then later I came to India at least with Chakravarti Prabhu, and we gave Prabhupada this book, the German Bhagavad Gita, in that room in Albert Road in Calcutta. There's this little room still there, Prabhupada was there. So we gave him the Bhagavad Gita. And he looked at it, you know, bent it over, you know, and the pages were so thin. The book was only this thin, the whole Bhagavad Gita. And he marveled at the printing, and he said, German engineering. He said, very good. So then on a morning walk, I asked him this question. I said, Srila Prabhupada, when we were translating, I found a verse. And in this verse is said that one who chants the holy name of Krishna, he has taken bath in all the holy rivers of India, and he has gone to all the pilgrimages, place of pilgrimages. So I asked him, I was still a very young devotee. I asked him, Srila Prabhupada, does that mean that I've been born in India, my last life? And that's obviously hardly believable, because this verse is, we're talking when Bhagavatam speaks, these kind of verses are related to India. People in India, when they have gone this tapasya, this austerity, in the next life they come to that. So Prabhupada, he smiled at me and said, it may be, he said, but, he said, you have to understand one thing very carefully, and that is, I created your good fortune. Very important. And Prabhupada, we sing in the prayers also that your mercy is all I'm made of. What is that in the Sanskrit? Your mercy is all I'm made of. It's from the prayer, from the Guru Putra prayer. I can't hear you. One of the names is, your mercy is all I'm made of. Your mercy is all I'm made of. And so that's a fact, without the mercy of Krishna, you cannot even lift your hand. You cannot see anything, because all the senses, they're not under your control, they're under Krishna's control. That's why Krishna is called Rishikesh. He's in control of the senses. So how can you even scratch your head? How can you do it? You're not the body, it's our philosophy. But there's something about the body, because you feel the itch. So you're not the body, but you're conscious of the body. That's the thing. As the sun illuminates the universe with sunshine, so in the same way, the sun illuminates, the soul illuminates the body with consciousness. So we are not the body, but we illuminate this body with consciousness. And therefore I can feel that right now, at this moment, I have an itch right here, and I would like to go this way. But how do you do that? You're not the body. You're only connected to the body via consciousness, actually. But that's it. So here's how that works. That man proposes, God disposes. We are sitting in a car, the super soul is a driver, and we are just a passenger. You can tell the driver, go here, go there. But it's not that you're driving. You're not the car. You're not needing the car. You're just sitting in the car, like the soul is sitting in the body. So what happens when I want to scratch my head? What happens? I saw you scratching your head. How did you do that? You're not the body. Why did you scratch your head? Because there was some itch. And how do you get your hand there when you're not the body? How do you do that? It's actually very simple. The super soul understands Krishna, understands. And he will call the demigods, hello, Hare Krishna, this is Krishna. Oh, Sri Bhagavan, Sri Jai. Please, can you lift? There's this devotee in the Krishna Balaram temple who wants to lift his hand and scratch. Could you do this? Sure, Bhagavan. And then the hand goes up. This is how that actually works. Because there's a verse in our scripture. Let me see if I can find it quick. Where it says, Prakriti kriya manani guna e karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma katham iti manyate. That's a bewildered soul, by the influence of false ego, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the three modes of nature, which is under the control of demigods. You see, that is, that if somebody thinks that he is doing, If you think I scratch my head and I do this and I do that, one thing is you become puffed up. You become puffed up. I do so many wonderful things. Actually, it is Krishna working through us. Therefore, things happen. You know, we have the desire. Man proposes, God disposes, and due to the desire, things happen. The super soul doesn't interfere in our freedom to desire. For the very reason that our relationship to the super soul, our relationship to Krishna, is based on love. And love means freedom. It's not that you can hold the gun to somebody's head and say, love me. It doesn't work like that. You know, love is voluntary. You have a choice to love or not to love. So we have a choice to love Krishna. And when we become averse to Krishna for some reason, inconceivable reason to us, we are attracted by the material energy. Although we are in the spiritual world. Now I don't, my personal opinion, I cannot imagine that somebody falls from Madhurya Ras. Because he saw, for him Krishna is everything. Lord Chaitanya said the relationships of Krishna with the gopis are the highest. Nor can I imagine that somebody falls from the position of Vatsalya. Nor can I imagine that somebody falls from the position of, Sakya, being a friend of Krishna, like Arjuna. You're a friend of Krishna, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. You're right here, and you stay there. And the same, maybe Dasya, possibly, in Shanta Rasa, because it's not that intense of relationship as Madhurya Rasa. So we end up in the material world. Bhaktisiddhanta said, like shooting stars, you fall from the spiritual world, like shooting stars. You fall from, because being averse to Krishna. And so here in the material world, we are averse to Krishna. And even when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, if you observe your mind, you start thinking about so many things. And you look at so many things. You look here, you look there, and somebody over there. And oh, I have to just... Facebook! I have to just go on Facebook for 1 minute. Very urgent. And so this is all, basically speaking, different ways to run away from Krishna, because that's the mode we are in. We are in the material world, we're running away from Krishna. Everybody runs away from Krishna is in the material world. And so this habit, this nature to run away from Krishna is so deeply ingrained that therefore we cannot chant Hare Krishna very nicely unless we have Krishna's mercy. Haridas Thakur, he clearly said that. That unless nobody, he said, nobody can chant the Hare Krishna mantra attentively. No one on earth, he said, no one in the world can chant unless he's specifically blessed by the grace of God. It's very important. You know, if somebody chants attentively, at least Nama Baso, to speak of Shuddhanam, he has a special mercy of Krishna. And by the mercy of Krishna, everything is possible. Without the mercy of Krishna and Prabhupada's mercy, nothing works. Nothing works. We should understand this. Then Haridas Thakur says, therefore we should pray for your grace. And please, Lord, allow me to chant Hare Krishna nicely. The chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is the most important activity in the whole universe. It's the greatest treasure we have, actually. The greatest treasure is the name. It's the most important activity in the whole universe. But how to chant? That needs two things. A, it needs my endeavor. This is there, endeavor. There's three things in devotional service. As we know, endeavor, enthusiasm, and patience. All these three things have to be there. And then, if there's endeavor, if there's enthusiasm, if there's, then Krishna's mercy, then Krishna comes. Like my godbrother, Satchinandan Swami, who is very much addicted to chanting Hare Krishna. He's very special in that way. So he always said, we have to do the best, then Krishna will do the rest. It's a very simple sentence, but this is how that actually works. We have to do our best, and Krishna will do the rest. Without the mercy of Krishna, you cannot. There's a letter of Satsvarupa Maharaj. He wrote to Prabhupada, and he sent him a picture. Prabhupada was in New York. Satsvarupa Maharaj was a temple president in Boston. And he had a picture of the altar beautifully decorated with so many flowers. Unbelievable. And Prabhupada saw, and Satsvarupa Maharaj wrote, Srila Prabhupada, now we have given everything. We are completely depending on Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote back, he said, how did you finance this beautiful decoration? He said, well, we realized we have no money or very little money. We put all our money in front of Krishna. He said, now Krishna, you have to maintain us. And Prabhupada said, well, the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but you have to also do your work. And then Krishna will help you. The same Prabhupada said, by the way, to a godbrother who asked on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada, can you save me? Prabhupada said, yes, but you have to do the work. It's very important. You have to do the work. And so there are these two elements there. There's Krishna's grace there and there's our endeavor there. We have to endeavor. It's not going to come to us on a silver plate. And when these two things come together, then actually we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says in this verse, in all activities depend on me for the result, because ultimately it is Krishna who is giving. So we have to depend on Krishna. Don't depend on this or that or that or that. Ultimately, we have to depend on Krishna. And all activities depend on me. And work always under my protection. There you have it. If we depend on Krishna, we have the protection of Krishna. Just like Drupadi, when she was being disrobed, first she was holding on to the sari. And she was not fully under the protection of Krishna. Then she lifted one hand and cried out for Krishna. And then she was alone. And then she lifted both hands, and then Krishna, in that time when she completely depended on Krishna, Krishna managed that the sari became an unlimited sari. So these stories are so deep, you know. It shows that ultimately, yes, we have to come to the point that we just depend on Krishna. You know, nothing else. And that we cannot do from one moment to another. We cannot do this immaturely. When we are young devotees, we cannot say, well, I completely depend on Krishna. I met one devotee, a young devotee, was not even in the temple. And he was looking not very clean. And so I said, what's your plan? He said, I depend on Krishna. He said, how do you do that? I said, I gave up work. I just depend on Krishna. He has to maintain me. And there's another story. There was a boy in our temple. He was not living in the temple. Marcus was his name. And I preached to him very enthusiastically. And so I convinced him, he said, you should finish your material life, this is all useless, there's nothing you can gain. There's no solution in this material world, there's no material formula that can save you from material life. The only solution is Harinam, Harinam. So he said, all right, I do this. He said, how? I said, you should go right to your house, pack your stuff, come here. So he left. He said, I'm going to do that. I should have gone with him. It was my mistake. Normally I go with people like that in such a situation when I was involved in being the Bhakta leader. So he didn't come back. And then after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, he came and his whole head was in a in a plaster of Paris, you know, plaster of Paris covering that you can't move it. When you break your arm, they put it into plaster of Paris, you know. His whole head, only the eyes were sticking out his mouth. I said, what happened to you? He said, well, you know, I depended on Krishna. I came back with my stuff in the car and I drove on the motorway, and then I thought to myself, Lord, let me depend on Krishna. He must save me. And he closed his eyes and he woke up in a hospital. He drove into a tree. So that kind of independence is not possible. We have to gradually go to that, to depend on Krishna. It is a matter of purification. The dependence becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. It is a process of dependence. And then when we come to the point of dependence and when we focus on Krishna completely, mat sita sarva durgani mat prasaran trishasi, if you focus on me completely, then mat prasaram, by my mercy, mat sita sarva durgani mat prasaram trishasi mat sita sarva durgani, all the difficulties that come from Durga, from Mother Durga, Abhi Ariadma, Aridivika, Ariborika, Mat prasaram, by my mercy, will be destroyed. So all the suffering that come from Mother Durga can be destroyed by one who has taken shelter in Krishna completely. Like I told you the story of Brahmananda, you know, that he was healed from one moment to another. All this is possible. So we have to get into this process. The Krishna conscious process is like you are a green mango. I'm a green mango too. I'm in this movement quite a long time now, 45 years or something, that's quite a long time. But still I consider myself a green mango. I'm getting slowly, slowly, I can do now very different from what I did when I joined. But it's still, you know, gradually, 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 by chanting, by keeping, by seeing the deity, by going down to Srila Prabhupada, by worshipping and hearing, we are getting there, 100%. 100%. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. And even a little progress, what is this verse? Nihavikrama nasusti pratya na vidyate svapamabhyasa dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Yeah? In this endeavor there is no loss, there is no diminution, and even little progress on this path can save a man from the great, not only men, women also. Men, women can save everybody from the greatest type of fear. That is our process. Even little progress. So that we are here in Vrindavan. What is it? How is it possible? I mean, how many of my classmates, even from kindergarten on, and from high school on, and from the university, how many people of those are in the Hare Krishna movement? Nushed, nothing. You know, nushed, you say in such a case, you know. So in the same way, look at your life. Where are your friends from the past? Solely in Maya. But you are here because of some special mercy of Krishna. That's Krishna's special mercy. So devotees are very special. They're special people. You should never forget that. It's a long way from Western countries to Vrindavan. That's a long way. You have to have some piety, some supriti. It's like, it's interesting to know the Russian emperor, Nikolai, the last one, he was actually a very pious man. He would pray with his children every evening, sitting together and praying on the rosary. He was a very pious man, chanting this prayer, O Jesus, Son of God, have mercy with me, a sinner, for an hour. He was kind of a pious man. And so he visited one great saint, Serafim Serovsky. He was a great saint. He was so great, he was living in the forest in winter alone, in a little earth hut. And nobody could understand how he would eat. So somebody was hiding to see. And he was astounded that a bear came, a female bear. She stood in front of him and he was holding a little cup under her, under her breast. And she gave him milk. And then, this was an elk. Then a bear came a little later and he brought honey. You know, so you see how Krishna takes care of people. So this was a very special saint that in Russian tradition that healed many people. And he said, just turn your way to God and you can bring thousands of people to God, he said. It's true. Somebody turns his way to God, he can bring thousands like Prabhupada did. So he was enlightened. And he said at one stage, the name of God and God is the same. That's amazing. That's our philosophy. So he would visit him, this emperor, and to hear from him. And it's amazing, he arrived in Vrindavan, this emperor. He came to Vrindavan, he went to the king of Jaipur, he was invited and talked to the king. He said, I want to go to Vrindavan, I want to see this place, it is the most important place for Hindu religion. I want to go there. And so he arrived, actually. You have to have some piety to come here. It's not possible otherwise, you know. There's some specialty there. And so the devotees, if we are living in Vrindavan, or we can hear the kirtan, or we can be in the temple while wearing our masks, very important, while wearing our masks, then this is a very special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should be very grateful for that. You know, like Prabhupada said one time, if you start counting your blessings, you cannot even count. You never come to the end of it. It's an enormous blessing to be here. This is the spiritual atmosphere. It's not material. At our ashram, in the back there, that Bani ashram, there was a Sendi road going, this bigger road. You come from MVT and till you reach a broad road, and it was a sandy road, and we were walking on this road and I stepped on Prabhupada's heel, which is terrible. I stepped on his heel and he turned around and put his cane on my chest and pushed. And he said, are you not satisfied? I said, I was satisfied. I'm so sorry. And I started crying. You know, that I paid my obeisance. He said, no. He said, that's okay. He said, that doesn't matter. Just how long you stay? I said, I'm going back in 3 days. He said, no. You have to stay at least 3 weeks. Change your ticket. He smiled at me. He said, change your ticket. Stay at least 3 weeks. Enjoy the spiritual atmosphere. And that was the highlight. Prabhupada was sitting there lecturing. I could sit right there for 3 weeks personally, because I had this blessing. And so we all have this blessing. You have blessings to stay all, some devotees are blessed to stay all year. It's a great blessing of Krishna that we have already been getting in some way or another, and we should just keep on going and chant Hare Krishna and our life will be perfect. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gaurinitai ki jai, Srila Krishna Balaram ki jai, Radhe Shyam ki jai, Gopremananda.